Amen. Aren't you looking forward to that day? What a blessed thought to, in the last verse there, it talks about when we've been there 10,000 years, when it's already been 10,000 years since we've stepped foot into eternity with our Savior. We'll still have no less days to sing His praise than when we first begun. What a joy to have that to look forward to. I can't wait. Let's open with prayer. Father, I thank You for this beautiful morning. I thank You, Lord, for that amazing grace. Father, that made a way where there was no way through the blood of our Savior. Lord, I pray this morning as we open Your word that we might be stirred, O God, to draw close, to lean, to trust, to rest on our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning I am going to eventually end up at another one of my minor prophet nuggets, but I'm actually going to start in Hebrews, and we'll get to the minor prophet nugget towards the end of the sermon this morning. We're going to start in Hebrews chapter 13, and here he is giving some closing admonitions, kind of wrapping up the book. And so he gives quite a few just kind of standalone thoughts here. He says, verse 1, he says, "Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them that suffer adversity as being yourself also in the body." We mentioned that a few weeks ago when we were talking about not being unaffected by the difficulties of our brothers and sisters, right? So he says, remember those that are in bonds. We have brothers and sisters around the world who are suffering physically for the sake of Christ, who are suffering bonds, suffering death, suffering torments. And he says, remember them as being yourself bound with them, and also, and remembering that you yourself also are in the body. He goes on in verse 4, he says, "Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge." And then in verse 5 is where I'm wanting to start out this morning. He says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." It's just stuck out to me as I was reading through this, as I was looking at this. He said, so we say. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. This is not me trying to pump up some kind of a feeling. This isn't me just, I've got this, I think I'm going to be all right. This isn't any kind of bravado or empty optimism to say it's going to be okay. I don't have to be worried about what men can do unto me. This is based on what he said. And I love how he has that set out here, laid out here. He said, so, or therefore, because of that, we can say. And this isn't to say that nothing will bring fear, but he said, I will not fear. It's not that the fear doesn't begin to rise up, but I'm not going to let it take over. I'm not going to let it become the status quo in my life. I'm not going to let it rule the day. I'm not going to let fear win. It may, and it will many times, rise up, but I will not fear. I'm setting that determination. I'm setting that as a, yes, it rises up. I take it by the scruff of the neck, so to speak, and I won't let that fear take control. I won't let that fear rule. But again, this is not based on just, I'm going to just be tougher than that. This isn't based on, I'm just gonna grit my teeth and just not show fear or not act afraid or not not react in such a way that would be stimulated by fear, but rather I'm going to move past that. I'm going to not allow myself to dwell in that and wallow in that, but it's based on what came before that he said. It's not based on my feelings at the moment. It's not based on the situation. It's not based on how it looks. It's not based on who it is that he says is, you know, that he might be talking about in that particular situation, that is a man who would want to do something negative to me, right? It's not based on that. It's based on the fact that he said, therefore, because of that, I say, I can depend on him. He said, I won't leave you or forsake you. It's a promise. It's an absolute. It's a solid foundation on which I can anchor. And so because he said, now I can say. My statement means nothing if it's not based on and following after his statement. His statement is, I won't leave you or forsake you. Well, if God won't leave me or forsake me, then I'm not dependent on me anymore. If I was dependent on me, I couldn't boldly say I won't fear. I could maybe try to hype myself up and say, I'm going to do my best to not fear. I could maybe try to say, well, I'll grab myself by the bootstraps and I'll hang on and I'm really going to try not to fear. I'm intending to not fear. But here he says, you can boldly say, I will not fear. Why? It's based on what he said. It's based on what he said. I can't just say this and it actually have any depth, it actually have any power, it actually have any kind of real life effect in my life to just simply say, I'm not going to be scared, I'm not going to be scared, I'm not going to be scared. That doesn't help. But if what I'm saying is based on what he has said, all of a sudden there's a difference because I'm not resting on, I'm not depending on what I say. I'm depending on what he said and therefore I say. I'm depending on the fact that he has promised. The eternal God who never sleeps and never slumbers has promised he's not going to forsake me or leave me. So at what moment could I possibly get blindsided by something that he didn't see coming? I can't. Because he's not resting, he's not sleeping, he's not off playing golf and just not, didn't pay attention to what's going on in my life. He has promised he's never going to leave me or forsake me. It's a promise made by an eternal God who cannot lie, based on his character, based on his promise, based on his word. He said, therefore, I can boldly say, this is a confidence that we ought to and can have as believers, is I can boldly say, I'm not going to be living my life in fear because I choose to build my life on what he says. I choose not to build my life on what I say, but he said, therefore I say. It's based on his promise. It's based on his character. It's based on his personality, his word that is eternal, that doesn't change. It's based on him. And I can boldly say, confidently say, nothing can overcome me. Nothing can destroy me that he does not allow. Nothing can come my way, but such as he has seen coming, such as he has prepared a way of escape, that I can overcome that situation. So I can boldly say, I can boldly, confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Because he said, I can say. This is a paraphrase of a promise that was made several times in the Old Testament. I think three times to Joshua. Joshua, don't be afraid. I will not leave you or forsake you. It was given in a slightly different sense when Christ, in John 14, verse 18 to 19, he said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. Again, our living is based on the fact that he lives. So again, he's the original foundation upon which then I can follow suit. He said, so now I can say. He lives, so now I can live in his life, in his power that is set forth, that is given, that is available. I will never leave thee or forsake thee. So we may boldly say, God's my helper. Why should I fear? What am I going to fear? I'm not going to fear. I'm going to choose to trust him, because he's big enough to handle it, and he's promised not to abandon me to it. And so I can boldly say, Romans 8, verse 31 through 39. Let's turn there if you have your Bible handy. Romans 8, verse 31 through 39. He says, what shall we then say to these things? What things? Well, he's been talking about the statements of God, the promises of God. So what shall we say to what he has said? Paul says, if God be for us, who can be against us? What shall we say? Well, he said, therefore I can say, if God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep to the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Again, we see Paul making just sweeping what would be, if it wasn't based on something so solid, would be sweeping presumptuous statements, right? Nothing can touch me. You're like, oh yeah, I've met young guys like that, right? Like, oh, I'm
invincible. I'm tough. Nothing can touch me. But Paul says it's based on these things. It's based on God. It's based on His character. It's based on His promises. It's based on Him. And what can you say to that kind of a foundation? Well, the only logical thing to say is, if God be for us, who can be against us? In any meaningful sort of a way, yeah, they can be against us, but what's it going to profit them? What's it going to help? What's it going to hurt me? In the long run, eternally, in real who I am on the inside, how can they hurt me? They can't. Nothing can hurt me. If I am getting who I am from who He is, nothing can hurt me. What shall we say to these things? Well, if God be for us, who can be against us? Nay, in all these things, we are going to be okay. No, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Again, not based on, oh, I'm just so strong, and I'm more than a conqueror. No, through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded, says Paul. He says, this is a conviction. This is a solid. Again, I can boldly say these things because of what God has said. He said, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth. Did I miss anything? Well, in case I did, nor any other creature. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I am persuaded of that. It's not just I've worked up the feelings of that, but it's based on the fact that God said. Because He said, I can boldly say. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. He said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. He said, you're going out in my name. I am in charge. I am the king. I am the boss. Nothing can happen and slip past me. He said, I know even the hairs on your head. He said, not even a sparrow can fall without me seeing it. Are you not much more valuable? Don't you know you're more valuable to me than many sparrows? He said all of these great and precious promises, and because He said, now I can say, I trust you. I depend on you. I put my confidence in you. I am persuaded that what He has said will be so. I am persuaded, I am confident, I am bold to state, nothing can destroy me without His say-so. I heard one man say, one time he said, you are 100% invincible until God's ready for you to be taken out of the way. And then, no matter what you do, you will be taken out of the way. No matter what you do, or how careful you are, or how much you've curried favor with everybody, when it's God's time for you to go, you're going to go no matter what you do. But until it's God's time for you to go, you're invincible. We walk around so many times in our life living with fear that somehow things going to slip by God. Somehow everything's not going to be quite okay. Somehow it's just, you know, I want to trust Him. How many times have you heard people say that, right? I want to trust Him. I just don't know if I can. Well, you don't know the character of the one you're trying to trust. You're trying to trust based on feelings of, well, I feel like God's going to take care of this. I feel like it's going to be all right. So I'm trying to believe that. I'm trying to trust that. But if my faith and my trust and my confidence is based on He said, and I really know the God I serve, and that when He said, it cannot be changed. It can't be undone. It can't be unsaid. He said, therefore I can boldly say. Because he doesn't change. He doesn't change. He didn't say one thing yesterday and tomorrow, we don't know. Maybe he'll change his mind. Maybe he'll change the rules of what his expectations are for us. Maybe he'll change what he's wanting me to fulfill in order for me to be a candidate of his promises. No, it's all laid out. This isn't just word of mouth. This isn't something somebody might have accidentally misquoted to me. I have God's word written down. Most of it's been penned for 3,000-4,000 years. The most recent of it has been penned for close to 2,000 years. It hasn't changed in that time, and it's not going to change. I can build my life on it that he said, therefore, I can say, God, I trust you. God, I believe your word. God, I believe your promises. I believe that when you said you won't leave me or forsake me, that you meant it. Even if I feel today like maybe you're not here with me, or maybe if I feel today like this situation is too big. When we see David going to confront Goliath, he doesn't even talk about or consider how big Goliath is. He talks about how big his God is, because that's the only thing that matters in this consideration, is who am I? Who is with me? Who has promised not to forsake me? Who has promised to stand with me and hold me and be in control? It doesn't matter how big the giant is. It matters how big is the one who's with me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Yes, he that is in the world is powerful. He would absolutely run over us like an 18-wheeler at 70 miles an hour and just crush us if we were standing on our own. He's much more powerful than we are. Our enemy is not human flesh and bones. He's spirit. He's got powers we can't even really imagine. But he that is with us is so much more powerful, that whenever you see a confrontation between God and Satan, there isn't even a battle. Satan, at the beginning of creation, or potentially slightly before, whenever it was in relation to the creation of the world, Satan says, I'm gonna rise up. I'm gonna be like God. I'm gonna be strong and powerful, and I'm gonna take over. We don't read of a battle. We read of God casting him out of heaven. There was no contest of his power and his authority in relation to God's power and authority. Again, we see that same concept again and again throughout Scripture, but so powerfully, so clearly set forth in Revelation. I know I've mentioned this before. Some of you are probably thinking, boy, he uses a lot of the same analogies. But in Revelation, we see the devil, the false prophet, the beast, all the kingdoms of the world, they come together against God. And it does not speak of a battle. They come up foaming and raging. And the very next verse it says, the prophet was taken, the beast was taken, the serpent was taken, and they were bound, they were cast into the lake of fire. There's not a battle. Because Christ's power, God's power, is so much more superior to Satan's power that there's not a comparison. There's not a, well, we don't know. We're sitting here watching. We're in a bated breath. We're watching this battle, you know, like in a boxing ring. Well, he got in a punch and he got in a punch. We don't know which way it's going to go. We're waiting to see. We're cheering for our champion, but we just hope he has what it takes to defeat the enemy. No, he does. Unequivocally, uncontestably, he wipes the floor with his enemy every single time. And that is the God I serve. That is the God who, to me, as one of his children, says, I will never leave you or forsake you. So no wonder I can boldly say, oh, God's my helper. Whom shall I fear? Who's got anything to bring to the table that should make me tremble in my boots? Who has anything to bring to the table that should make me have doubts and worries? Yes, I'm human, so I do still struggle sometimes with doubts and worries, but if I turn my perspective back to him, if I turn my perspective back to what he has said, then I can boldly say, God's my helper, whom shall I fear? Again, we see this in Matthew 28. I quoted part of it, but the end of the Great Commission, he says, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Go, obey, do, preach. I send you like sheep among wolves. Oh, that sounds scary, but I'm with you. I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? And it's interesting, this is set in Hebrews there, it's set in the context of being afraid of what men shall do to me. But it also, in the verse before, in verse 5, he says, he's specifically talking about covetousness and about being content with what you have. So this isn't just fear of what somebody might do to me, trying to kill me or persecute me or punch me in the face. But this is also fear of not having enough. This is fear of being short to pay my bills, short to have what I need to provide, to live. And he says, we may boldly say, God's my helper. How can I say that? What promises is that based on? Well, even the sparrow doesn't fall without him knowing. It says, he clothed the grass of the field. If he clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more shall he not clothe you? If he feeds the birds, which live such a short little life and then he die, how much more shall he feed you, O ye of little faith? We see so many times through the Gospels, there's multiple instances where Jesus produces physical food from very small amounts to feed lots and lots of people. And it was in that moment, it showed the people his power, it showed the people his glory, and it fulfilled a physical need that they had, right? But it also was given, everything Scripture tells us, was given for our learning so that we can realize, hey, he can make food from nothing. He took that little tiny bit of oil in the bottom of the barrel and that little bit of flour that the little widow woman had, and he fed her and her son and Elijah for days and days and weeks and weeks, and it didn't run out. Why shall I be concerned? Why should I be afraid? Why should I fear? The Lord is my helper. He has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. And now to go to our minor prophet nugget, Habakkuk 3. This is such a beautiful passage. I've heard a couple of songs written with this passage as the basis of it. It's so beautiful. Habakkuk 3, 17 through 19. He says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herds in the stall. Even if every single venture fails,
Verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Why? Because He's got this. Even if everything goes wrong, He's still the King. He's still in charge. He's still the boss. He's still promised. So I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength. And He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and He will make me to walk upon mine high places. God is here. It doesn't matter if the olive trees all die. It doesn't matter if the fig trees don't blossom. It doesn't matter if the animals aren't producing. It doesn't matter if every physical, visible thing is going wrong. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my helper. I can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. I won't fear what comes my way because I know who is with me. I know who holds my hand. I know who stands beside me. I know who's in charge. He has said, therefore I say, let's pray. Father, I pray this morning that that might be the characteristic and the pattern of our lives, Lord, that we would confidently be able to say, He has said, therefore I say. Lord, that our confidence, our boldness might grow to match the God in which it is resting. Lord, that our dependency and our trust in You might be worthy of the God whom we claim to trust. What does it matter if the giant's 13 feet tall? I have God on my side. What does it matter if the fig tree doesn't blossom? I have God on my side. What shall I fear for men to do to me when I have God as my Father, my protector, my shield, my shepherd, my guardian? Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. In Jesus' name, amen.